Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'm gonna make you love me. Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
That's Eddie Kendrick. And today on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about Motown and the inception of beginning of Motown and iterations and whatever else. We'll find some good words for it.
All those words.
But anyway, this is Brian Beebe, and I'm live on Facebook and live on MadisonTalks.com. Once again, brought to you by Monk's. Six locations in Wisconsin. I'm going to name them for you. Two in Wisconsin Dells, one in Middleton, one in Sun Prairie, one in Verona. They're surrounded Madison, almost, except for the north is 45 minutes away in the Dells. And then Eau Claire. But I'm also brought to you by Sorrento's Italian Restaurant at the Wilderness. Look them up, www.sorrentosrestaurant.com, S-A-R-E-N-T-O-S. And you'll find that they have a interesting-looking, clunky old blonde guy that plays there four nights a week, keyboard, piano bar, and that's me. So 7 o'clock, anytime, any night of the week, if you feel like it, come on up to Wisconsin Dells and have your dinner right at the bar, listen to a few old songs, and then you can be back in Madison by 10 o'clock. How's that? Mike Brockefeld in the control room.
How's it going?
Answering
today?
Your calls. We hope you'll call in today. We're going to talk about Motown a little bit. We're going to talk about Glenn Campbell a little bit. Rest in peace, Glenn Campbell. A big part of the soundtrack of my life and many of you guys out there. Glenn Campbell passed last night after a long bout with Alzheimer's and other health issues. He came to the Dells a few years back and put on a pretty sketchy, embarrassing sort of a show. It was propped up constantly by a granddaughter of his or something that who made excuses for him. He didn't remember the words and didn't know where he was a lot. It was kind of embarrassing for poor old Glenn. But in his heyday, did you know that Glenn Campbell was asked to be a permanent member of the Beach Boys and had to turn it down because even in 62 or 63, Glenn Campbell was making close to $1 million a year as a session guitarist.
Wow.
On lots of other people's records and couldn't afford to take the pay cut and join the Beach Boys. I think he joined them on tour a little bit when he could here and there. But Glenn Campbell passed last night. R.I.P. Glenn Campbell. And if you remember the Glenn Campbell Hour on TV back in the 60s or early 70s, it was Glenn Campbell who brought the summer replacement show for the Smothers Brothers. The Smothers Brothers were kind of brought to America by Glenn Campbell as a summer replacement for his show. And that's a that's something that's going on. We also hope that we can hear something from our friend Ed Legg from Capital Newspapers today. He might not call, but he did a story recently about an anonymous donor up in Wisconsin Dells where I live who came along and paid all of the delinquent school lunch program bills for everybody in the Wisconsin Dells school district. Isn't that kind of cool? That's the kind of thing that I would wish that I could do sometime. Also, let me go back to Glenn Campbell for a second. I was a member of a church when I was a teenager called the Church of Christ, which was kind of a unusual church in that they didn't have instrumental worship in the congregation. Everybody sang. They had song practice on Sunday nights before the Sunday night service. And they had a song leader at each service, and he brought up stood up in front of the congregation, and the men would sing bass, the boys would sing tenor, the ladies would split alto and soprano, and we sang four-part harmony. One of the things that I really loved about this church was it took me from churches where the organ just kind of overpowered the sound of the crowd, and everybody sang like this. Because they were completely drowned out anyway. Nobody could hear them even right next to them. And all of a sudden now the words were and the music were everything to this church, and that was appealing to me. And anyway, Glenn Campbell was a member of this Church of Christ, and he was kind of our shining star. I think that young people like me were more quickly warmed to the unusual ways of this church because we had Glenn Campbell, you know, and he wasn't necessarily a part of the strictest order of this church because we weren't allowed to dance or drink or and I think he did all those things. He drank and was divorced once or twice, but anyway, he was our shining star, Glenn Campbell. So anyway, today on the show, we hope you'll call in, 608-210-1667. We're going to talk about Motown a little bit. We're going to talk about, do you think, lots of hot button topics. I like to use that word. I wanted to use that word on the show. There are going to be some hot button topics today.
Yes.
How does that hit you? Do we like hot button topics? Or do you want to talk about Motown? I don't care. Call in and tell me what you want to do. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. 608-210-1667. But one of the questions that popped up this morning as I was kind of thinking about what to talk about was, do you think there could be a revolution in this country and modern with modern-day weapons and tactics and stuff? Would it be squelched right away, or could do you have hope that we could change something maybe non-violently? Could we do that? You know, I remember the movie Gandhi struck me very, very hard. And one of the things that they did, because 100,000 English people tried to control 3 million or 3 billion or whatever it was, 3 million 100 million Indian people. And the Indian people swept the streets and drove the buses and took out the garbage and all that stuff for the elite English people that were there. So when they decided they would not drive the buses and they would not go to work at their factories or their mines or whatever, it really took a toll on that governing party that was in place in India. And I don't know, maybe that would be the answer for us. Something has to change because the swamp is not draining, you know. Anyway, and maybe we haven't given him enough chance. I'll say something nice about Donald. Maybe it's only because it's only been 200 days that he has had a little trouble getting any continuity started. But anyway, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about. Mike, it has some really cool 60s music loaded up that I on Mitch Hanks's show. If you check in on Madison Talks and go to Mitch Hank, sometimes he'll have this, I don't know, 5 or 6 minute segment of his show that says, here's some fabulous music hand chosen for you by Mitch. So I mean, that maybe he puts that in there just so there's parts of the show he doesn't have to talk. But for me, I will and I'm not going to look down at the cord like I did last week, just kind of rolled back and forth because I thought I was rolling over my headphone cords. I don't even have my phone.
I was going to say, you're missing your cans.
Do I need to hear? I guess I don't need the headphones. I don't look at this.
That's pretty hip, yeah.
One on and one off. That's what we did in the studio because you wanted to hear what you had already played and sung, and then you'd sing harmony along with it.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? It's a comfort that I'm knowing you. And you can hear the other parts that you're syncing up with in your headphones. But you can hear yourself live. Anyway.
There's a science behind that, too.
Yeah.
I have some pretty good, pretty cool experiences recording vocals like that. And everything's out of key when you try and use the headphones. You take your headphones off and get a little speaker. The sound has more
range. You're listening to it through a speaker?
Yeah.
See, I listened to it on a playback, and then I would listen to myself like I am right now.
Yeah.
And that's how you find the pitch that you need to. But quite often, I remember having lots of trouble with tape speed.
Oh, yeah.
In the old days when you recorded on 1 or 2 inch tape, if the playback that you got was a fraction of an inch off, you know, per second, IPS, off from what you were hearing, you know, when in the playback, then the part that you were putting on it would be out of tune with the. So, but they fixed all that now because digitally, they can, if you're recording digitally, they can take any note you sing and tune it up to the track. You don't even have to be a singer that sings on key anymore. So call in anyway. Let's talk to you. 608-210-1667. Somebody just called. Who is it?
We have Maureen on the line.
Maureen?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. We'll get the... Hello, Maureen.
Hello, hello.
We'll get the straight scoop for the biggest Motown fan ever right there.
Well, I grew up with Motown.
So. Yeah? You didn't grow up in Detroit, did you?
No, Milwaukee.
Milwaukee. Yeah, Milwaukee is you know, it seems like Motown reached out to hardworking people, like the factory workers and the hardworking people of Milwaukee. Don't you think, Marie?
I think so.
They took the names of the highest order, like the Supremes and the Tops and the Temptations and the Imperials, and every group was named after the top of something, you know, the ultimate. And
definitely.
It appealed.
Milwaukee was a big Motown city.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, of course, and you had a nice mixed population there. I went to high school in a high school called Harlem High School. So everybody I've told that to in the past few years thought, well, they had to be mostly black. We had 2,000 kids, and there were three black kids in the whole thing, you know.
Well, anyway. No, we had Smokey Robinson and the Miracles used to come into town.
No kidding.
Four Tops. I mean, you go back, James Brown, everybody.
They come in on a bus tour, Maureen? Was it like a bus?
No, they just came in to perform. They'd perform at the Eagles Club or downtown at the old arena.
What, one group at a time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it'd be all different. I mean, in 1 year, you'd probably have 3-4 different groups playing here.
Uh-huh.
And it was really cool.
Yeah. Give me a standout moment, did you, when you saw a group that you were surprised how good they were or how bad they were, or were the crowds always great for these guys?
Oh, they were huge, absolutely huge. And a lot of them, being that it was a Motown, the majority of them were black people.
Yeah.
But we had a ball. I mean, there was, you know.
No trouble.
The Four Tops, I saw them and they were great. I didn't know how they, you know, the albums were great, but you don't know what their personal performances are going to be. But
no.
They were good.
And the blacks and the whites together in the crowds, no problems, huh?
No problem.
James Brown came too.
Everybody danced around, had a great time.
Ah. Well, listen, Maureen, we're going to go to our first break, but thanks for calling in. And I hope you'll stay tuned. Call me back sometime.
Definitely will. Thank you.
All right, hon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to our first break. We're the Brian Beebe Show, brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, 6 locations in Wisconsin, and by Sorrento's at the Wilderness. And we're talking about Motown and the Revolution and other hot-button topics.
Yeah. MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com. Looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Mike Brockveld in the control room. Hitting us with some fabulous Motown records, man.
I never met her, but I can't forget her.
I keep going to that Eddie Kendricks. It was kind of cool and brand new when Motown hit us for guys to sing in falsetto.
Ooh, la, 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 la.
Smokey Robinson did it a lot. Eddie Kendricks. And every 70s group seems like...
La 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 la, I love you.
Remember that? La 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 means I love you. And
5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years of love.
All that stuff was brand new to us when we were young. When we were young. But back in the beginning, Detroit, very depressed kind of working class neighborhoods. And Berry Gordy, the founder of Motown, started Hitsville, USA, in his house. He made a little recording studio. And he was a player and a songwriter himself. he wrote, among other things, I don't know, claim to know everything about Motown, but he wrote Money, one of the classic songs. Even the Beatles did. The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. I want money. That's what I want. That's a Berry Gordy song. And he must have known lots of fabulous performers because he instantly, in Hitsville Records, had a pretty impressive stable of talented people. And I'm sure, as in any business like that, lots of them came through his door who were rejected. They were crap. But Diana Ross and Smokey Robinson, William Robinson, they called him Smokey because he was just so cool. And Jimmy and David Ruffin, who formed, were the basis of the Temptations, and Eddie Kendrick was the guy who sang all the, you know, when they sang, oh God, so many great Temptation songs. But, and I don't remember. You can help me out. 608-210-1667. If it was Jimmy Ruffin, or David Ruffin, or both in the Temptations at one time, seems to me that there was conflict between those guys. And one of them was had a drinking and drug problem. The original guy that did, I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. And all the great, great songs the Temptations did. And then later on, the other one. I'm thinking it was Jimmy in Temptations and David Ruffin later on, but I might have that backwards. And after the Temptations had come and gone, kind of, one of the Ruffin brothers sang a great song. What becomes of the brokenhearted who had loved and now departed? I know I've got to find some kind of peace of mind, baby. Oh, God. So many great songs written by Norman Whitfield, Holland Dozier in Holland, and they called them, a lot of them on the, like on the Michael, the Jackson 5 records, they were called the Corporation. Whoever it was in the Corporation at the moment wrote the songs for that record. And interestingly enough, behind every one of these records was a completely anonymous band called the Beat Brothers, who played on more number one records, more chart singles than the Beatles, Elvis, any of them all put together, because they played behind the four. These groups, these Motown groups, did not have bands.
Right.
They were singing groups. They sent the girls to charm school, how to stand, how to posture, how to dance, how to dress. They put on the, you know, the Supremes and stuff all wore wigs. The Vandellas wore wigs. It's a shame to say, but they tried to look a little whiter.
All right.
But the Beat Brothers were these five, seven, eight guys that played on every Four Tops, every Temptation, every Marvin Gaye record, every Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, every Aretha Franklin record. You know, because these people didn't have a band. And sometimes they would have a track that they'd use, like, Heard It Through the Grapevine, you know, and they'd use that same groove for another record, because it was already there, you know. Or they would do sessions for more than one artist in a day. Gladys Knight was in there too. Gladys Knight and the Pips, they played on all their records. Can you imagine these guys? And for years, nobody knew anything about them. They didn't even try to get any acclaim for the Beat Brothers. Then, 15 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago, somebody made a documentary movie called, and you can look for this on Netflix or wherever, Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Mm-hmm. Standing in the Shadows of Motown, which these guys did, the Beat Brothers. I'm sure they got paid well, and they seemed to enjoy it. They sure enjoyed their reunion in this movie. And they got back in there and showed the tambourine guy working on these Stevie Wonder songs. You know, Steveland Morris, by the way. Steveland Morris is little Stevie Wonder. And it was also a huge collaboration in the beginning. William Robinson, Smokey Robinson, had to be a big-time friend of Berry Gordy. And he decided he was going to help all the acts. Smokey Robinson wrote My Girl for the Temptations. He wrote My Guy for Mary something. Anyway, and he wrote a lot of Temptation songs, plus the Miracles hits. It was William Robinson. If you look at his songwriting credits, Smokey Robinson was William Robinson, Jr. And Motown took off on the wings of newfound civil rights voices from the 60s. 63, there was... I've mentioned this on other shows and in my blogs about the British invasion, but before 62 or so, most black artists would not even have pictures of the group on the cover of their record. If they wanted to appeal to white markets, they would call themselves whatever they wanted to, but they would have, even sometimes, I saw a Ray Charles Christmas record last year that had all white faces on it. Ray Charles singers doing Christmas songs, and had all white faces on the cover. So what except for Ahmet Erdogan was on the cover too, and he was like a Indian or a Pakistani sort of a guy. So he was a little bit black, but geez, race music, they called it in the early 60s, until I think it was Kennedy. It was, a lot of it was Kennedy and LBJ and getting the tensions lessened a little bit on black people, and they felt a little freedom, and they also were pumped up by Motown. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm not sorry. I'm saying that it was all a big part of this role that segregation felt, integration felt, that carries over to this day. And it was part of the reason, because they had Supremes and they had Tops and they had Imperials and Miracles and all these people making records and presenting black people as fabulous artists, singers, dancers, hit makers, less than threatening. I mean, name me a Motown song that has anything but positive vibes to it.
Right.
I mean, maybe Cloud Nine by the Temptations. It got a little political in places, but Papa Was a Rolling Stone was a little bit close to the bone. But here's another thing about Motown from my own experience. Because I played, please call in, by the way, 608-210-1667. I'll sing your requests. We brought the keyboard down again today, but we didn't bring the power source, so I can't play the keyboard. I will sing for you, though. When I played in Florida, I liked the feeling of having enough material to play a whole night for if the crowd was all old one night or all young the next, you know, because Florida, where I was, you could count on the crowds being older. But occasionally, during season, you know, some young people or families with young people would come down and spend a couple of weeks on Longboat Key where I was, you know, and they'd come in a lot. So yeah, I liked the feeling I had something for everybody. But on those nights when it was half young and half old, and it could have been every song I'm playing made, if it was rock and roll, it made the old people mad. If it was too sappy, it made the young people mad. So in the middle was always Motown. It fit the young people. It fit the old people. It was upbeat. The messages were simple. They were messages of love. They were danceable. And I did play for dancing for a lot of years. So Motown was my go-to music. And I learned a ton of it while I was down there because it worked so well and because I loved it so much, you know. Never met a girl could make me feel the way that you do. You're all right. Whenever I'm asked what makes my dreams real, I tell them you do. You're out of sight. Oh, 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 get ready, get ready. Another Smokey Robinson song done by the Temptations. I really got to use my imagination. Gladys Knight. And boy, I tell you what, when the California Raisins came out in the 80s, and they were doing that, you heard it through the grapevine in Claymation or whatever that was on those ads, I sure got a lot of requests for Heard It Through the Grapevine. And even if I didn't get it requested, it was one that would make them jump to the dance floor. And Mike, what do you got any more Motown queued up that play a little bit for us? We'll go to one more break and then call in 608-210-1667. Brian Beebe, brought to you by Monks and Sorrento's at the Wilderness.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio.
If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
You must be older than I thought you were. How do you know about this song? That's enough. I'm getting melancholy now. Maureen, are you still on the phone? Huh? She's gone. She wants me to sing a song. This is one, you know, by the way, I should probably bring into this discussion that I came in through the back door on Motown. It was the Beatles that woke me up. I was playing folk music before the Beatles came. But the Beatles, on their first couple records, had songs by Everly Brothers and Smokey Robinson, lots of people. So, I mean, I learned about some of this music because the Beatles had done these songs by these people, Larry Williams and all these players that and writers from all different genres, and one of them was Smokey Robinson. The second album, the Beatles' second album, had a fabulous song on it. Robin and I used to sing the harmony on this and just loved this song. It's called "You Really Got a Hold on Me," and it goes, "I don't like you, but I love you. Seem like I'm always thinking of you. Oh, you do me wrong now, but my love is strong now. You really got a hold on. You really got a hold on me. Baby, I don't want you, but I need you. I don't want to kiss you, but I need to. Oh, you do me badly, but I love you madly. You really got a hold on. You really got a hold. You really got a hold on me. Baby, I love you, and all I want you to do is just hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Tired of, I wanna leave, don't wanna stay here, don't wanna spend another day here. Oh, I wanna split now, but I just can't quit now. You really got a hold on. You really got a hold. You really got a hold on me. Baby, I love you, and all I want you to do is just hold me, hold me, hold me, hold me. Where's the cymbal? You got the cymbal thing there?
It's there.
Oh, yeah. So that was the end of it. All right, so the cymbal. Anyway, that's a great song. And in fact, when Robin comes to town and does his solo shows up with the Dells, the last few winters that he's come up in January and done a couple of shows at Monks at the Wilderness, and I get up and play the piano on a last few songs of the night, and we always have done that one. We both love that one. Smokey Robinson, and you know what? Split was kind of a new. If you were going to leave someplace, you were going to split. That was a new thing back in the 60s. So that was kind of new jargon. I want to split now, but I just can't quit now. You know, he was that cool, Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Hey, I wanted to mention that we went to the State Fair. It's still going on, right? State Fair?
Yeah.
Wisconsin State Fair. And it was fun. I've only been the last few years, but we had never gone to, like, the exhibits, where they sent in cooking things or vegetables that they had grown and had them judged by somebody.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Giant cucumbers.
Yeah. and super small things, too.
Huh?
But they had leeks that they were this long, and they had broccoli. They had a broccoli, a couple of them that were laying there.
Jeez.
And the thing was this long. Here's the tassel here, and here's the stem, you know. And heads of lettuce that were like this, cabbage, I mean. But they also had flower judging, roses, and knit things, and miniatures if you made sort of a like I took a picture of this, like a picnic basket, but inside was a miniature general store. I mean, just these people are thinking of these interesting things and making them, I guess, with the intent of having them judged at the fair. And we saw a lot of third place things we thought were fabulous, and first place things we didn't think were that special. But we also saw that they had categories for everything. So, I mean, you'd have to be pretty bad. I don't know enough about it, but it seems like you'd have to be pretty bad to not get a ribbon somehow. If you brought your stuff to the fair to have it judged, we didn't see the animals and things like that, but there was a whole section, Mike, that was 30, 40 feet long, and like bleachers, you know,
yeah,
with just dahlia flowers in it that were all judged. And that's probably the ones that won. I mean, the ones that didn't win wouldn't be up there. So, I mean, and the dahlias had a really interesting flower that we all saw it and looked at it and said, wow, that's different. And we looked at the ribbon, and it was first place in something like an other category. It was like something else or something other than, you know, category. It was first place in the something other than category. But it was fun, and they had, it was a little bothersome to see. They had coolers there, a big long line of stand-up glass doored coolers with food inside that had won, prepared food. And it was a little unsettling to see, like, a deep dish pizza in the cooler. You know, isn't it a little less than appetizing,
yeah,
if you know it's in the fridge? You know, it's supposed to be hot. And the other thing was, I saw the cakes. You know, if you made a layer cake for the fair, for judging, you had to have the cake perfect. Then you also had to have exactly the perfect size slice taken out of it.
Yes.
So you could see the inside of the cake, and each cake in the case had exactly the same size piece of slice,
cool,
taken out of it. And you have to wonder, okay, what are these people like that make stuff all year long or grow stuff, prepare and perfect these recipes to take it to the fair and be judged? Is it people that, how do they profit from it somehow, or is it just ego or what? Mm-hmm. I could never myself take on an annual product. If I was a woodworker, maybe, you know, and you want to make something.
Big project,
I'm just not creative enough to come up with a great idea for something. Who's on the phone?
Stevie Ray Nelson.
Who?
Stevie Ray Nelson.
Stevie Ray Nelson.
Who?
Yeah, him. That guy.
Who?
That guy that does that song. You know that song.
That thing with the guy. Oh, by the way, I have to preface this. I prefer my button topics room temperature. So I just thought I'd let you know before
we
get into any
topics. All right, room temperature. Okay.
Room temperature topics.
All right, good. And you know what?
Or lukewarm.
That's more what I got for you anyway. I don't really. The whole idea of me having a hot button topic was funny to begin with, so that's why I said it. But anyway, nice to see you, and I hear from you, and you had some a little bit of trouble here recently, and everything came out good.
Oh yeah, in that health problems, yeah.
Yeah, the Gunderson Clinic has been watching you. They watch you. Somebody's watching me. Remember that?
Oh yeah.
Remember that song?
Rockwell. Yeah, was it?
Rockwell. He's supposed to be a cousin of Michael, and I thought Michael was on that record. Somebody's watching me.
I think Michael's saying that because you hear that. I never take a shower because I'm afraid to wash my hair. So I think Rockwell had more of an accent. I think that's Michael singing. That was singing. Somebody's watching me. That part right there.
And hair was actually Rockwell, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good theory. I like it. And it's lukewarm, so it fits in.
It's lukewarm. Room temperature. Yeah.
Room temperature theories. Yeah.
Anyway, I have been buffering. My computer is not up to speed, but I know what you've been talking about today with the Motown and Glenn Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked up, I did a little bit of homework in as much as I wanted to know what of his hits that he had written, and I didn't see very much. Mostly it was John Hartford, Gentle on My Mind, and Jimmy Webb with the Rhinestone Cowboy. The author of that one escapes me right now. But the big hits were written out. He didn't write those, but he did write.
Yeah, and he was a heck of a guitar. He was way ahead of his time, guitar player, technique-wise.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if he was with the Wrecking Crew or not. I think he may have been. In that time frame, I think he might have been.
The Nashville thing? What's the Wrecking Crew?
No, that was New York. That was Carol Kay on bass.
Carol Kay, a woman bass player, played on a million records, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the early, like right around when Motown was getting started, and that was a whole different group of musicians that were playing for those people. They had the Nashville Cats. They had playing there, great, and they had the different core musicians, and Glenn Campbell was part of that. I also found out that he did tour with the Beach Boys for about 4 months.
Oh yeah,
they took over for Brian Wilson.
How could you not? I mean, how could you not? You would want to, and he's a great singer too. He was a great singer.
How could they notice something like that? Yeah, he wants you to be a Beach Boy. Like that'd be like, you know. I couldn't even describe, you know.
And he was probably close with those guys. He probably played on some of those records.
He did. He played guitar on a few sessions for them. I don't know if it was Pet Sounds or what. I think it might have been Pet Sounds.
Stevie, I met the guy. I knew the guy down in Florida who wrote the backside of Gentle on My Mind. All right, this record that appeared on the backside of that, and he told me he used to get a check for, I don't know, $40,000 every once in a while, just because that song, and it's an eye-opener to think that nobody knows what song is on the B-side of that record, but it sold just as many as the A-side. You know, the Gentle on My Mind, whatever they sold.
Yeah.
His song was on the back, and he got money, too.
Because you're buying a physical record rather than a download.
And if the A side's selling,
the B side's got it. It's going along with it.
And maybe it was on the album too. I don't know, but it's. I always wished I could write one song and just grab that money and go. Didn't you? I mean, don't you wish you could have written a hit song?
Yeah, I'm just hoping I can get a CD together by, I've been waiting for like 4 years to put this all together, stuff I've written.
Longer
and
than
it's just
that,
impossible.
Man. You've been doing it since I met you 20 years ago. You're going to make a CD. But anyway, I can't criticize because I need to do that too. What else is going on, man? Did you make it to the state fair? Are you a Motown fan? There's people on the phone. I am.
Yeah. I was listening to what you're talking about earlier about have you ever heard anything from Motown that was anything less than they had their upbeat and positive attitude?
Yeah.
If I remember the story correctly, it was Marvin Gaye with the Ecology song "Mercy, Mercy Me."
Oh yeah.
Barry Gordy, if I have the story correct, said, "All right, well, we'll put this out. This is more of a I think that was more of a protest song than Motown had ever done."
Yes.
And Barry Gordy said, "Okay, if it's not a hit, then you will have learned something.
Yeah.
And if it is a hit, then I'll have learned something."
Well, that's
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
How he presented that and put it out there. He said, "All right, have it your way. We're going to put this out there. I don't think it's going to fly. You do. We'll see what happens."
It was an unusual beat, too. It was a very airy record, sounding record, and it had no real danceable beat to it, but it was a valuable message, and they were teaching and protesting at the same time. Hey, Stevie, can I put you on hold and answer a call? You want to keep on?
Go right ahead.
Stay on the line.
Okay.
Who's next, man?
We have Karen.
Karen? Oh, good. Karen, is this...
Hello, how are you?
Is this Karen from Centerville?
Yes.
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Happy birthday week to you.
Thank you so much.
I meant to have my keyboard here so I could... I'll sing your song. And happy birthday week to you. Happy birthday week to you. Happy birthday week, dear Karen. Happy birthday week to you.
Thank you so much. And can I request another song?
Yes. Are you watching on Facebook or just listening? You know, we found out something today. If you try a Facebook.com, you might have trouble. But if you go on the Facebook app on your phone or on your iPad, it's right there. You have it. Yeah. And what's the other song? Oh my goodness. Oh, just a minute. Hold on. You can't see me, but my heart is beating right out of my chest. Yeah, and there was another one. Let's see. I'm going to sing that one for you, and I'm going to tell you the story while I do. Stevie, are you still there? Karen? Is it okay if Stevie's gone? This song, a guy named Jerry Wexler, who lives in Sarasota and has come to hear me play, by the way, down in Florida, dropped by Carol King's house, and she was living with Jerry Goffin. They were songwriters, and they were a couple. And he just dropped a two-word message on their porch or in their mailbox that said, "Natural Woman." That's all he had. It was a great title for this song. And by the end of the day, Jerry Goffin had written this song. And it goes, "Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. And when I knew I had to face another day, I used to feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. But you're the key to my peace of mind. And you make me feel like a natural man. Woman." Now here's the second verse. "When my soul was in the lost and found, you came along to claim it. And when I knew, never knew just what was wrong with me, to your kiss helped me name it. Now I'm no longer doubtful of what I'm living for. But if I make you happy, I don't need to do more. And you make me feel, You make me feel, you make me feel like a natural man, woman. That's the way I sing it at work because I have to do man and woman. And then the bridge goes, baby, baby, what you done to me? You made me feel so good inside. And I just want to be close to you. You make me feel so alive. And you make me feel, you make me feel like a natural man. Woman. How's that, Karen? All right, was it another song? I have somebody else on the... You were going to... All right. Well, I'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling.
Stevie Ray called back.
Oh, Stevie Ray.
Yeah, so something happened. I got dropped, lost in the shuffle.
You know what? That's okay, because I wasn't about to talk to you while I had Karen on the phone.
Well, no, that's all right.
Yeah, but I mean, not that you're secondary, but she's a pretty one. She's special. Anyway, you know how it is, man. You know, I've been single so long, and what's the old joke? I've been on so many blind dates, I should get a free dog. Go ahead. He's got the ba-dum-bum in there. So if I tell, I got these friends of mine that have been, I've been on this online dating for so long. Jeez, I have a lot of stories to tell about that. But it's better than it was when my friends were setting me up, Stevie. I had this. Blind date, somebody set me up, and I went to this bar, and I'm standing there by myself, and 40 minutes or so, and I finally see this girl across the bar by herself, and I walked over there, and I said, hello, are you Ruth? And she looked me up and down, and she said, are you Brian? I said, yes. She said, I'm not Ruth. Is that bad or what? Stevie Ray! Oh, I lost him. So that's why we didn't get a laugh from Stevie Ray. He's gone.
I lost you.
Oh, are you done?
You faded out, you faded back in, so I'm back here.
Okay, so here's the punchline again. You ready? I'm not Ruth.
Oh, good.
So you not laugh like you...
You're
like
going to just... Oh, like yeah. good one.
Those fake laughs, those fake showbiz laughs. We're so good at them, huh?
We'll fix that in post.
And it'll sound like you actually heard the joke. What else you got, man? It's so nice of you to call.
Well, I try to call whenever possible.
Yeah, my friend Stevie Ray Nelson is a musician up in Tama, Wisconsin. Tama.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Tama, Wisconsin. Where Barry Clark says Tama. It's really Tama. Where the interstate
Tolma.
Divides.
That's what I always say.
It's not the what?
It's not the Tama.
Not the Tolma.
Not the Tolma.
Oh, that's
And I've gone so far as to call my little one-room studio Tomacos Studio.
Yes. Tomacos. I like that.
Tomacos, yeah.
Yeah. Is that like comatose?
Yeah, it's like backwards. Sideways.
Yeah, backwards or sideways. And you used to do a lot of guys making country records up there.
I did. I had a few clients, and I would do all the... other instruments, whether it was with my electronic drums or whatever. I don't have enough room for an actual drum set here, but the technology's out there. It's fair.
Electronic
it's pretty
drums.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you done any county fairs or anything this year? The Maggie May Band or anything? Maggie May and Heartland
Country? We are scheduled for Labor Day weekend to do, let's see, where is that? Walworth County Fair.
Oh, fun. Because we went to the state. We have to go in 60 seconds or so, but I'm going to wrap up with a little bit of stuff from the state fair. We were there, and we didn't actually go see a headliner group this year, but we saw a lot of you know, the bands that play at the beer tent stages, and there was a lot of good talent, and we saw a lot of bands in a very short time, and still got home just after sunset, and it was pretty cool, man. I hope you'll get
a chance to I had a chance to play the State Fair about 15 years ago with John Connor.
Oh, yeah?
It was a lot of fun. Very, very hot at the Starlight Cafe.
You were a bigger deal then, and you it was very hot. Yeah, you know, this year it was 70 and beautiful, and partly sunny.
Oh, would have loved
no
for
humidity.
That to happen. In a tent.
The weather was incredible.
Yeah.
We have to go, Stevie, but I wanted to invite you once again, anytime you can, to come up and play with me at Sorrento's at the Wilderness, man.
And we will work on that. Absolutely. Love to.
Yeah. And Monks is going to announce a concert series for fall here pretty soon. Monks up in the Dells where I'm from. And so we're brought to you, the Brian Beebe Show brought to you by Monk's six locations in Wisconsin and Sarasota. And in Wisconsin and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up in Wisconsin Dells. Come up and see me sometime, four nights a week up there. Thank you very much, Mike Brockfeld in the control room, running sound, answering your calls. And we will see you next week. Mm-hmm.